up Aleph Pasuk Aleph. Ye Rav Bimei David Shlosh Shanim. Now, there was a hunger for 3 years during the days of David HaMelech. Shana Achrei Shana was a year after year famine. Vayivakesh David Shpnei Hashem, David davened to the face of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yomar Hashem Oshol, Vel Beis Adamim, Al Asher Hemes Zegivonim. And he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, because of Shaul HaMelech, because of a house guilty of blood, and because he put the Givonim to death. That's the reason why there's such a famine over here. Now, there's a lot behind this process over here. Number one, when was this? Is this after Avshalom? Because if it's after Avshalom, that's a long time from when Shaul HaMelech died that all of a sudden there's going to be. That's number one. Number two, Shaul HaMelech is 68. So how is it year after year after year? If it's 3 years in a row, that means it went into his 70th year. Was this the last 3 years of David HaMelech's life? It's very hard to understand that. It seems more likely that it was beforehand. And although it's completely out of order and it belongs a little bit earlier, but it was clear the sense of how we were going through the parakim over here. We're going from one thing to the other. We got to Amnon and Tamar. We got to Avshalom. It maybe this could be considered that way. It is toward the end, although we still have another four parakim. So I don't know exactly, but regardless, that's the idea behind it. Now it's clear he went to the Urim Bitum and David HaMelech. He wanted to find out what the reason was for this suffering in the first place. That's the idea behind it. Now the idea is the following: this Rav should have happened in Shaul HaMelech's time, because it clearly was because of Shaul. Although there was a problem that they didn't eulogize Shaul HaMelech properly, nonetheless, it still deserved to be in Shaul HaMelech's time, but there's a difference. Shaul and David were very different people. David HaMelech was like a very strong tree. He could take adversity and he would blow together wherever it is. I shouldn't say it that way. I'm sorry. No, it's the opposite. Shaul HaMelech was the sycamore. Shaul HaMelech was a sycamore that was stuck in the ground, that he stays in the ground and everything's all good, but when something uproots him, then he's gone. And Shaul HaMelech was completely gone. David HaMelech was like a reed, and he went back and forth in the wind. And then, therefore, even though it seems like it's so weak, nonetheless, he's able to stand anything. A Rav in Shaul HaMelech's time would have taken Shaul HaMelech down. Shaul HaMelech would have lost everything, and bad things would have happened. By David HaMelech, it would have been okay. David HaMelech could understand why this type of thing happens. Now, the Gemara says it's crazy stuff. He went up to the people and he says, "Oy vey, maybe we're worshipping Avodah Zarah in the first year." He said, "How is there no rain? Maybe there's Avodah Zarah in the land." They said, they looked throughout the land, there was not a single person who did Avodah Zarah. Maybe there's Gilui Arayos in the land. They looked around, is there something promiscuous going on? So there's not a single thing of Gilui Arayos going on. Number three, maybe people pledged to give tzedakah and they haven't given it. They said, "Nope, we haven't done that either." So David HaMelech said, "Then it must be me." After 3 years, he's like, "All right, it's got to be me." So he got up and he searched for it. What's up?
What you were saying just now about year after year, mm-hmm. The environmental speaks about it. He said, everybody went Olil Arego. David asked him, the first year,
that's when it was.
Second year,
Gilarais.
The third one, he says, Shrichos Davin, not stuck.
Oh, we didn't do that? That's interesting. Unbelievable. So he says over here, I remember the Gemara says that it was asking for tzedakah, because he knew that.
Really?
You can tell if there's Shrichos Davin. That's something you should be able to tell without any.
HaShlishis Ol Yisrael Aragoyim, Amor Lam David Suru, Shema Yesh Bachem,
Shrichos Davin. That's weird. That's a weird shot. I mean, I can't remember what the Gemara is, but the Gemara, I believe, says this and doesn't say that. Regardless, he knew that it was referring to himself. By the way, it could be that David HaMelech is specifically saying, is Pesel Micha around? Because remember, Pesel Micha was all the way. Is Pesel Micha still around? When it came to immorality, he said, maybe it's because Avshalom had violated my wives, and that's the reason why that happened, but that only works if this is after Avshalom, right?
Pesel Micha after the first place of Mavish or second?
Pesel Micha was before everything.
Before.
In the Mishkan. Only in the Mishkan.
Oh, it was
destroyed.
It was in the what?
The question when it was destroyed, but only during the Mishkan for sure.
It was never actually put in the basement then?
No, never put in the basement fish itself. No, always in Dun. Always in Dun, that's where it was. And that's that. Alright, the question number two is, what's up with the Givonim? Did he really kill the Givonim? So one shot says he mamish killed the Givonim. That there were Givonim that were living in the city of Nov Irakwanim, this is Shaul HaMelech, and when he saw that those Givonim were there, he took down not only Nov Irakwanim, but he also took down the Givonim that were together with him. That's number one. Number two is that they lost their Parnassa. The Givonim used to be water carriers and wood choppers for Nov Irakwanim for the Mishkan. Once they lost that, they no longer had a Parnassa, and that's why they were so angry, right? Or there are other answers over here, by the way. Because they never, Bnei Yisrael never asked mercy for Shaul HaMelech to live after he sinned. Nobody davened. When Shaul HaMelech was said, "You're not going to be king anymore," everybody's like, "All right, fine, who's that?" Like, that's that. That's why they were punished. Maybe it wasn't public publicized as much, but it should have been. They should have realized something was going on, especially when David Melech was made king by Shmuel and Avi, and that became public somewhat quickly. They should have figured that out at some point, and that's there. And also because they stood idly by when David Melech was chased out of Yerushalayim by Absalom. They didn't do anything, and therefore the rope happened again. But that only works if this happened after Absalom. Those are other reasons that are given over here.
Why is the famine's happening because of Shaul? Why is it happening in David's time? Why is David cleaning up Shaul?
Oh, so no, but that was what we said before, that he's like the reed. Shaul Melech never would have been able to handle it.
That's not a good answer.
I mean, it's a good enough answer that David Melech was still somewhat responsible for what Shaul Melech had done. Remember, Novir Kohanim was not totally Shaul Melech's fault. David Melech did lead Shaul into doing so, even though he never expected that type of extreme reaction. Nonetheless, it did happen through him. We'll talk about Nov later on with David Melech. Pasuk Beis. The king called to the Givonim and he said to them, now notice, the first thing he did was not Shaul HaMelech. He didn't give the hesped for Shaul HaMelech, and he didn't rebury Shaul HaMelech. Instead, he first takes the Givonim.
He had no obligation to. The man tried to kill him multiple times.
Kadosh Baruch Hu told him that's why there's a famine. I mean, that is something.
It doesn't say anywhere specifically or explicitly that he needed to.
Well, we're going to see. There's one thing that he does do, so we're going to see what he ends up doing. That by Yomar Alem, he said to them, so the pasuk is saying, like in parentheses, by the way, the Givonim are not part of Bnei Yisrael. Kimi Yesor Amori. They were the remnants of the Amori people. Bnei Yisrael Nishbu Bahem. Bnei Yisrael swore to them that they wouldn't touch them. Yivaka Shaul HaKosim B'Kanosel Bnei Yisrael V'Yehuda. Shaul HaMelech wanted to kill them out of his jealousy of Bnei Yisrael and for Yehuda. That's what he wanted to do over here. So these.
You mean he was jealous of them?
And maybe that's the wrong word.
What is Yehuda?
Bikanoso. So let's say kina as not as in jealousy, as in zealousness. In other words, kano is kina si by Pinchas, willing to be zealous for HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
What is that?
So it probably means that as well. Meaning he wanted to kill them, thinking that they were going against his kingdom, thinking that they were, you know, making a rebellion or some type of revenge against him, and maybe going on the side of David HaMelech itself.
You think he just didn't care? I mean, like, when he went into Nov, he just didn't care about the Givonim.
Yeah,
because he found out about them lesser people.
It's definitely possible, but they're not Jews, so what's the big deal?
Yeah, you rationalize killing them in the process.
Very, very possible.
And
plus the Givonim Dalit,
that it was for the children of Israel and Yehuda.
But there were different sides, because Bnei Yisrael still were on the side of Shaul HaMelech for quite a while Yehuda's were David HaMelech was king.
So what is killing the Givonim, how does that affect Yehuda? What does Yehuda care?
Yeah, that's a good call. I don't know why it would specifically
say. So wait for everybody.
For that, hold on. Yeah. Do I have anything on that? Bnei Yisrael, Yehuda. I don't have anything in this. I don't have anything on that time. That's a good question. Okay, we'll have to remember that for next time. Okay, let's see if Pasuk Gimon the Dalit. David says to the Givonim, what can I do for you? But Machaper, how could I be Machaper for you? Baruch Hu is not blessed Hashem, and therefore you should bless the inheritance of Hashem. You know, he wants a bracha even from the lowly Givonim. By Yom Lulo Givonim, Ain Lanu Kesav Izov Im Shol V'Im Beso. We don't want any silver or gold from Shol HaMelech or his house. I mean, we don't want the tainted money that he was able to give. We don't want to take away stuff like that. In other words, they killed our people, or they took away our money. Their riches will not suffice to be able to take care of the problems that we've had since then. The money is just not enough. It's like, I mean, I don't want to say this, but reparations after the Holocaust. But we took the money, though. That's an intended shoe in the Kibonim.
I know
you're obvious. There are people that just won't take. You don't want to take blood-tainted money.
Yeah.
You don't want to take that. The Ein Lanu Ish Lahamis B'Yisrael. Nor do we have a claim against any man among Bnei Yisrael to die. So he said back, and he said, all right, that's what you do, then I'm going to say to them. Okay, so really, it could be that this time, by Yomer, meaning the second time that David Melech was talking over here, maybe it meant that he went to them individually. And instead of going to them in a klal, because they couldn't make a decision, they weren't telling him straight answers, so he went to each one, or maybe the leaders, and said to them, what do you want me to do? He said, David Melech, I'm willing to do whatever we need to do over here, but that's the idea. What can we possibly do over here to be able to help you? So by Yom Ruel HaMelech, they said to the king, Ish Asher Ki Lanu, Asher Dima Lanu, the man who destroyed us, right, who plotted against us, Nishmadnu Mehisyat says, Behog Bo Yisrael. We should do the other one, right? Nishmadu. He made us in Shmad. He didn't allow us to be in all Gvulim of Yisrael. Now, it seems like there's something going on over here where Shlomo Melech was involved with the Givonim and not letting them settle in the land. It could be that was through a Nevuah or possibly something from Shmuel and Avi where the Givonim said, so can we live in the Shvatim of Bnei Yisrael? Shlomo Melech said, no. You only belong by the cities of the Kohanim and the Levim to be able to help them, and that was that. So the Givonim said, we had no choice for years and years and years. Such a person who wouldn't let us live there. Yutan lanu shiva anashim ibanav. So therefore, give us seven men of his children. Rokanum l'Hashem b'givas shol. We will hang them to Hashem in the givas shol, in the palace of Shol HaMelech. B'chir Hashem. So a bas kol came out at that moment and said, the chosen one of God. That you don't just say shol, right? And at that moment, a bas kol came out and said, don't just say shol. Say b'chir Hashem. We don't do that. That was a bas kol that said it. Because otherwise, if the Givonim are saying it, we hate Shaul, the chosen one of God. Like, that doesn't make any sense in the form of the pasuk. Vayomer HaMelech ani atein. And the king said, I will go ahead and give. Okay. The Kohanim didn't have this claim. The Kohanim didn't have a claim. They didn't say, well, you killed all of us, therefore we're going to, we should kill all of you. That wasn't a claim for the Kohanim. The Kohanim were mokel. They understood what it was. Now, we have to understand what David HaMelech did. Now, there's a bunch of things over here. The purpose of why the Givonim wanted to do this is they wanted to make it public. They wanted to show how a Kadosh Baruch Hu takes back for the Gerim. The Gerim who are downtrodden and knocked down or whatever it is, a Kadosh Baruch Hu looks out for them and it would show a Kiddush Hashem. In other words, their intentions were somewhat good, even though there was no question that there was bloodlust over here. Not only did they ask it for it to be public, they wanted the bodies to be hung specifically in the Shuk so that people would know what would happen and it would be there for a long time so that people would refrain from touching converts in the future. Yeah.
So by now it's already been multiple generations since the original Givonim.
Many generations. Yeah. Many, because that was Yoshua. This is about 450 years later.
These are the ones who decided, yes, we're gonna become Jews or we're gonna live by your rule.
Correct. That's what it seems like.
But they're still on the lower
how they still exist.
Eventually, the funny thing is that they never were. The Jews all knew who the Givonim were, and the Givonim stayed separate. So they married maybe from people of the land. Maybe they married Plishtim. Maybe they married Ammonim. Maybe they married Moabim. They never married. Maybe I don't know. The Givonim never were full Jews. They were sort of like Avodim that ended up coming. And an Eved can marry a Shifla Kananis. That's that. Eventually, they died out. After this, we don't hear from them again. Okay, after that, we have something called a Horas Shah. What's a Horas Shah? Horas Shah is that David HaMelech understood that since the Givonim are asking for this, right at this time, it must be that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. Again, remember, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to him and told him, this is the reason for the entire famine. HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously knew that they were going to be bloodthirsty and that they were going to ask for such a thing. So what should David HaMelech do? He treated it as a Horas Shah. And he said that. And that was the first thing that he did. Number two, some say that David HaMelech suggested for Shaul's descendants to volunteer themselves. He wasn't going to pick. Whichever seven were willing to die for the chait of Shaul HaMelech, that was supposed to be given, and that's that.
Wait, who says the first one?
I can't tell. It's all the Neambulis.
This one says the Urim and Thurim
notes over there. And then the other answer is that they put them in front of the, not the Urim and Thurim, it should be the Tzitz. It says the Urim and Thurim. Okay, I have from the Tzitz that they put them in front of the Tzitz or the Urim and Thummim, and those were chosen. Those are the ones that were chosen to be able the ones that are going to be around here. Okay, so that's that. By the way, there is a Minhag HaMikdash over here. The Givonim were taken away from delivering the water to the Mishkan. Therefore, the water stopped for Klal Yisrael. It stopped raining for all of Klal Yisrael over here. That's the idea behind it. There's no question that Mephibosheth, who is David HaMelech's Rebbe and Yonasan's son, he was saved. He was not included. It could be because it's not David Shlomo Melech, it's Shaul HaMelech's direct child. But there's not much of a riot because some of these people are not going to be his child whatsoever.
But Yonasan wasn't Michal's son?
What?
Yonasan wasn't Michal's son?
Yohonasan was a direct son of David HaMelech. And so it's a direct son of Tabernamelech. So Shaul HaMelech, I'm sorry. But I will tell you, at the end of the day, unless you say it's a Rosh Shaul and something like that, this is one of the strangest things that have ever happened. That Tabernamelech was maskim immediately to the Givonim's request to kill seven of Shaul's descendants for Shaul, for something that Shaul HaMelech had done wrong.
So Rav Yochanan says, in order to end the desecration of Hashem's name, which would cause like Shaul's treatment of the Gibeonites, a commandment of the Torah was set aside so that the seven men were chosen to atone for Shaul's
sin. That's the line. Yeah, and that's a Rosh Shaul. That's what it means by Rosh Shaul.
And they
take it aside from that way.
And Sadia Gaon says that they participated. That they were.
Oh, there you go. That's what I was going to say. I don't know why it didn't have it over here. I had it over here, but I don't know where I put it. There are some that say that the reason why these guys were chosen were the ones who were held accountable. They were the ones who actually killed the Givonim. Because remember, when Shaul HaMelech asked for the people of Nob to be killed, remember, Abner refused. His generals refused to do it. So he needed to pick somebody else to do it. It was seven of his children who did it. They lived past the war, and they were the ones. Zoe's already dead.
No. Oh, well, then he was there.
Not a question, but Doeg's already dead. So he would have been killed if not. But the seven people, Doeg is the one that definitely took out his sword and did it. But they say that those were the seven who did it, so that would make a lot more sense. Now you don't have any kashrus. Why were these seven the guys who were killed? Well, it's because these were the seven who were highly involved. That makes a lot more sense. But Yahweh Melech on the Phiboshes, the king had pity on the Phiboshes, Ben Yonasim, Ben Shol, Shvuas Hashem, Asher Binosim, because of this oath of God that was between them, David, Ben Yonasim, Ben Shol, between David and Yonasim, Ben Shol. He took two sons of Rizpah Basaya. Remember, Rizpah Basaya is all over the place. She was the wife of Shaul HaMelech. She was the one who was suspected of being together with Abner Ben Ner. And then she possibly married David HaMelech. Possibly married David HaMelech. She's all over the place, Rizpah Basaya. Asher Yobel Shaul with Armoni Ves Mephibosheth, who had given birth to Shaul, Armoni and Mephibosheth. This is not the Mephibosheth son of Yehonasan. Okay? This is another Mephibosheth that's mentioned
Uncle
over here.
Uncle Mephibosheth.
What? Uncle Mephibosheth. It's a very popular name, as you can possibly imagine. And then the five sons of Michal, the daughter of Shaul, who had given birth, who she had bore to Adriel ben Barzila Mechulasi. There's a lot of problems over here. Adriel did not marry Michal. Adriel married Merav. Remember, Michal ben Shaul married Palti ben Laish. So they say that Adriel, I mean, if these people were Rishayim, you'd say, well, that's not a problem. But it's Michal ben Shaul.
So
the answer is...
No.
Michal raised these five children. Although it's possible that he was getting back at Michal in some way, and in other words, that was the oath, that Michal would die childless. But nonetheless, we don't even know if Michal's still alive. We don't know if Michal's still alive, but the five children that Michal raised of his sister, of her her sister Merav, who was married to Adriel, those are the five sons who were taken over here. Here's where it says that it says the Aron, not the Urim the Tumim, by the way. The Aron. Okay, Pasuk Tes. So he put them in the hands of Yonim. He hung them in a mountain in front of Hashem. So that must mean somewhere near Ir David. That would make the most sense, that he hung them near there. Although it said before there would be
Shvatom.
And all seven of them fell. So Chazal say the reason why it's called Shivatom, right? You see Shivasayim over there, do you remember? Ki Shivasayim Yukam Kayin. What it says is that many generations of sevens. Not only were these seven killed, the Givonim are responsible for all the future children that any of these people might have had in the future. Miyachas, Vehaim, or Vehaima, whom Subimei Katsir Barishonim, they were killed in the days of the reaping, which would assumably be around Shavuos time, toward the beginning, B'tchilas Katsir Seorim, toward the beginning of the reaping of the barley. Oh, I'm sorry then it would have been Pesach. It would have been right around Pesach. That would make the most sense because Seorim was Pesach. The wheat was usually
harvest.
Yeah, that would make sense. So it's referring to Pesach, not the other way around. Hema, by the way, the reason why it's missing the letter Hey, there's a lot of Kris in this pasuk, aren't there? Different pesukim that are like that. So the Shiva sign we already explained over here, and that was that. The other way of looking at Hema, by adding to the end of the letter with the word, the letter Hey, the two sons of Rizpah were killed, and then were the five others put to death. And that's what it says over here. And it says the 16th of Nisan. That's when they killed them. Wow. That's the second day of Pesach. Wow.
Depressing Pesach for that family.
Yeah, well, look at the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud is the saddest pasuk. Tikach ritzva bataya sasak. Ritzva bataya took sackcloth. Batateyula. Right, she set it out for herself. Elatsur, right by the rock. Mitchilas katzira nitach mayim aleim. From the beginning of the reaping season, right, that means from Pesach, up until the rain fell, which means after the summer. Aleim in Hashemayim. Nitach mayim aleim in Hashemayim. When the water came down from the heavens. Lo nasna over Hashemayim lenuach aleim. She would not allow the birds of the heavens to rest upon the bodies. Yomam, during the day that Chai saw Delilah, nor the wild animals at night. She protected the entire time. The entire time she was there watching over everything. Now, they were hung for a total of 6 months, from the 16th of Nisan all the way to the 17th of Cheshvan. Grab a Tanakh from that shender right over there.
What happened?
16th of Nisan until the 17th of Cheshvan. 6 months. Now, the Medrash says, the nations of the world came over and said, the Torah of the Jews is a fraud. It's a sham. They don't believe in it. Number one, you're not allowed to keep bodies overnight, let alone have them up there for 7 months. Number two, you can't judge. It should be a tackle. Blue guy should be inside there. Number two, you're not allowed to judge more than one person at a time. Can't judge more than one person at a time. But over here, all seven were done at the exact same time. Number three, you can't put, you know, children of somebody to death. But here, all these were children of one person. How in the world did they allow that to happen? In other words, you can't have regular ancestors die for their father's sin.
So just grab a, do the words Horasha mean anything to
this? Well, these are the nations of the world. Nations of the world said, what the heck? What is this going on?
Well, what if they were involved?
I'm sorry?
If the seven were involved, then...
Oh, yeah, yeah, no. That's the answer. It really... Horasha is the best answer. Horasha, what do you want them to do?
But it's still over.
Listen to what the people said. This is what Patrick said. The Jews said back to them, you want to know why these people are? You know why we did this? Because the father of these kids hung a ger. They hung, I'm sorry, killed gerim. He said, they killed converts? And he said, yeah, he killed converts. Why? Because he thought they were rebelling against him. So the non-Jews made a quick kavuchomer on themselves. They said, if that's true about people that kill converts, Kolshkin, if they killed regular Jews, if that's true about the king's family, Shaul HaMelech's family, for doing what he thought was right at the time, they're killed for it, Kolshkin, for other people, and that happens, there is no God like the God of Israel. And they were convinced that something was good about that.
Kavuchomer is not true good only because...
I don't like...
Yeah, go ahead.
No, because a Jew could... no, never mind. That's a different thing.
The comic over stands.
I don't like that.
No, it's just no, I understand what you're saying. If we're willing to kill seven of the king's children.
Former king, but still, nonetheless, the king. Yeah.
The chosen one of God.
Yeah.
Okay, we're willing to kill seven of his children for one ger being killed.
That's just crazy.
Then comic over that if you touch a hair on a full Jew's head, so to speak,
even
we're going to kill everybody.
Assume, right, that would be, yeah, obviously, they're going to be punished for that. That should be absolutely obvious. Anyway.
When you kill real Jew, then that doesn't.
I would say real Jew is even more.
Let's just say it was clear as day.
That's what I said.
There was no question. There was a Midi Keneged Midah over here, and they saw the Midi Keneged Midah. What was happening because of all this? The rain had stopped. Midi Keneged Midah. The tears that Ritzvah Bas Ayat shed because of that caused the rain to fall, and that's when the rain fell as soon as everything was up. That's the idea behind what was going on over here.
So rain fell.
Here we go.
Time in that year, then.
You can talk to him if you want to.
What?
Rain fell at the wrong time this year.
Yeah. Yep. That seems what it is right here. There we go. Pasuk Yud Aleph. It says, "Vayigad l'David asher asta ritzvah bas ayat yulegeh shol." David HaMelech was told what ritzvah bas ayat had done, the concubine of Shaul HaMelech himself.
What's that? What?
Pasuk Yud Aleph.
Chof Aleph Yud Aleph.
So it happens to be he heard everything. Now the halakha is that when he heard what was going on over here, he knew what he had to do. Problems like this.
She
was number
she
two
makes a good point, though.
And number three. What?
Okay, so you're not supposed to keep a body out overnight.
Okay.
But there was a famine, and this is supposed to atone for that and bring rain.
Yeah.
So by her keeping the bodies out until Hashem brings rain, in a way, saying, I did my part, you got to do yours, and until it rains, I can't bury the body.
Now, I don't think it was her choice. I think she would have had them buried at first, you know, as soon as she could. It was David HaMelech's choice to do so. Ritzvah Batai protected them as they were out there. She just didn't take them down. Over here, what it does say the following, it says the following like this. Okay? he knew now that Shaul HaMelech deserved to have a eulogy. So now he was going to rebury Shaul HaMelech. So David went and took the bones of Shaul and the bones of Yonas and his son from the people of Yavish Gilad. Notice, by the way, the other two sons of Shaul are not mentioned over here. It's possible they never found their bodies. It's possible they never knew what happened to them. Asher Gunvul Sam Erechol Beis Shan, who they had taken from the street of Beis Shan. Remember in the Pelishtim? Asher Talum Sham HaPelishtim. Sham HaPelishtim. The Pelishtim were the ones that hung them there. Biomakos Pelishtim Shaul Begaboh on the day that they had killed Pelishtim. Remember, the Pelishtim had taken Shaul HaMelech and Yonasan and hung them in that area right by their god, what's his name? Dagon. So they had hung them up over there. And they took the bones of Shaul and the bones of Yonasan Beno. And they gathered the bones to an area of those who had been hung. They took all the people together and they reinterred them. Now why did he do that? Because he had a kasha. How is he going to make a hesped? It's after 12 months. We don't give a hesped after 12 months. The answer is, if you reinter a body into a place that's more coveted, then you're allowed to make a hesped. You understood that.
For who? By starting name.
Yeah.
I understand. How did he, why would he leave Shaul? First of all, why would he leave Shaul's body, and certainly Yonatan's body, and
Yavish Gilad? They were buried. There's no permission. No. They were stolen from the police. The police had grabbed them. Yavish Gilad, the people of Yavish Gilad, grabbed them back and brought them to Yavish Gilad. Once they were buried in Yavish Gilad, David HaMelech said, because they didn't know what David HaMelech would do with the bodies of Shaul. They were buried already. The only time he can do something more special is if you do it in a better place. Now that there were the seven who were hung, he was able to bury them all together. Yeah.
Can you just clarify? So the fact that, you know, we're killing the sons of someone who, you know, did something bad a while ago, you know, and doing all this kind of stuff, so that's not the problem. It's the fact that with the eulogy, that's really is that really the problem that we're asking here?
No.
No.
He didn't. I mean, he's trying to do everything about halacha. If this is halacha, he has to hang them, then he has to hang them. Kasha is, how is he going to do the hesped? He understood now he can do the hesped. He has to reinter the bodies. Now he has a reason to, because he's burying these seven people anyway. So he'll rebury the bodies of Shaul and Yonasan as well, right at that time.
Could also say he can do the hesped because of the seven new bodies that are being buried.
Exactly. That's the second answer I was going to give. Once he was eulogizing for the seven people that he was burying now, he could also eulogize for Shaul and Yonasan right at that moment as well. And the third answer, when they picked Shaul and Melech's body up out of the dirt, they saw that he had never rotted. When they saw that he had never rotted, that's the point where he said, it's deserving of us to be able to say, now he deserves a eulogy and everything like that.
Does that mean that after this, he got basically a full pika?
Let's call it like that. Shaul HaMelech is in Shemayim. I don't think we have any kasha about that. Without anything. So it's like Shaul HaMelech is beyond anything. Remember, there's one person who said, I can't remember what this Gemara is, darn it. But there was a Tana or an Amora, I don't remember who it was, who said, he said something bad about Shaul HaMelech. He said, we'll talk about Shaul tomorrow. Right? And that night, he saw Sitma or Simta. Whatever. It's like a scary dream. So he said, okay, fine. So he had a scary dream the next day. He said, Shaul HaMelech. Right? And he had another scary dream. He said, Shaul HaMelech, Bechir Hashem, the chosen one of God. And then he didn't have the scary dream. That's the point where he was able to say, I didn't have a scary dream.
The guy who talked badly about the daughters of Lot. And then he had that.
No, that's different. Anyway, Shaul HaMelech's body was carried throughout all of Klal Yisrael so that there would be a eulogy wherever Shaul HaMelech could go. That's the idea behind it. And that's what happened over here. David HaMelech, at the end of the day, it was his tefillos, says Chazal, that allowed the rain to come down to Klal Yisrael, and that's what ended up happening over here, so that's that. Pasuk Tetzvav Shkayach Dev. But he owed Mokam and Lepelishim as Yisrael. There was another war of the Pelishim with Bnei Yisrael, and some say this was earlier again. Others say it's now because it's again. The wars of the Pelishim were done, and then after Avshalom, the Pelishim came back. So Kash exactly what it was. By Yerud David Adav Imo, David went with his servants with him. He loved most Pelishim by Yoav David. They waged war with the Pelishim, and David Melech got very, very tired. David Melech was very tired. The Yishbi Beno, I should be Lidei HaRapha. Yishbi Beno was one of the children of the giant. Mishkal Keno Shlosh Meos Mishkal Nefoshes. The weight of his weapon, right, was 300 shekel of copper. I don't know what that means exactly, 300 shekel, but I'm sure it was heavy. Uchagur Kadosh, he was wearing a brand new belt. That's just like Aaron Rodgers. Vemela Hakus is David. He wanted to kill David HaMelech. He had an intention to kill David HaMelech. Some say HaRapha was his name. That was the name of his father. Some say HaRapha means the giant. That's how I just translated. Others say it refers to Orpah. I'll talk about that in a second. Help David HaMelech. By Yaakov, the police, and they killed the police by Miseu, and he was dead. Then the people of David swore to him, saying, you are no longer going to war with us. Thus you will not extinguish the Nair of Israel. Now, if this happened after Avshalom, it makes sense. Because David HaMelech wanted to go to war against Avshalom, and Yoav convinced him otherwise. But if he already wasn't going to war, why would he say, all right, now I'm going to war against Avshalom? You weren't going to war anyway for the past few years. That's why it makes sense that this happened after Avshalom was around there. Unbelievable Gemara is in Sanhedrin Sadi Heimanal. It mentions that David HaMelech had said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, how long will you take on the sin of no Gerah Kohanim? Because of you, the Kohanim were killed. Because of you, Shaul HaMelech and Yonasan were killed. Because of you, Doeg HaDomi was killed. So how long are you going to keep this on your head? David HaMelech said, what's my punishment? He said, either you or your children are going to be taken by their enemy. David HaMelech said, I'd rather have me taken by my enemy. So David HaMelech was running in the forest chasing after a deer. He was chasing after a deer, hunting it. I don't know how, but I guess that was Mutter. Kasha, you can hunt at all. There's a note of Yehuda on it. Simon Yud and Sinyan. Right? No, I mean, the note of Yehuda says, okay, whatever. Either way, regardless, we don't hunt. So regardless,
you're a king, though. You're a king.
No, but regardless. So David HaMelech, no, they say that David HaMelech was able to shecht with his arrow. So therefore, it was different. But I don't know. Either way, so David HaMelech was chasing after this deer. He's chasing after the deer, which was the Sultan, by the way. And the Sultan was the one chasing after it. He came to the place where Yishbinov was. Yishbinov said, that's the person who killed my brother Goliath. Yishbinov was one of four brothers, Yishbinov and Goliath, and then Madon and Sup. Those were the four brothers, were all the sons of Orpah. Now, David HaMelech was captured by Yishbinov. Yishbinov put him underneath a huge grinding mill. He put him on the ground, tied him up, and then took a grinding mill and smashed it on top of him. A miracle happened. The ground opened up, and David HaMelech was swallowed up by the ground, so he wouldn't be smashed by the actual thing. Meanwhile, back in the back cave, Avishai ben Tzruya was sitting back there. Avishai ben Tzruya was taking a shower and Erev Shabbos with Kavod Shabbos Kodesh. In the midst of the shower, either a dove came and thrashed in his face, and he said, a dove is a muscle of the Klal Yisrael. That must mean that David HaMelech Yisrael is in trouble. It's unbelievable. It's an unbelievable game. I'm telling you, it's one of the greatest midrashim. I gave a whole Thursday night Shavuot Shir on this, 4.5 hours on this Gemara. 4.5 hours just on this Gemara. Okay, that's the first thing. The other thing is that streaks of blood started coming down. I don't know about you guys, if that happened in a shower, I would freak out. Either way, streaks of blood started coming down, and he realized that David HaMelech was captured. He didn't know what to do, so he ran to the base medrash and he said, am I allowed to use David HaMelech's donkey in order to find David HaMelech? And they told him, in the end, it was mutter to use the donkey in order to get the king. So he went on the mule of David HaMelech, and he found the king. He had Kfitzas HaDerech, one of three people that Kfitzas HaDerech found him. When he came there, Eliezer of Avram and Yaakov Avinu. So when he got there, Eliezer of Avram, no. So when he got there, Yishbibinov saw that he was coming and said, he's going to kill me. Right? So he immediately, what did he do? He took David HaMelech, threw him up in the air, put a spear in the ground, and wanted him to land on top of the spear. Instead of spearing him, it's an unbelievable measure. I'm telling you, it's an unreal measure. So he put him up in the air. Avisha ben Tzuria said, a shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, said, a name of God, held David HaMelech up in the middle of the air so that he wouldn't fall on top of the spear. He then went to David HaMelech and said, what happened? David HaMelech told him the whole story of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had said to him. And he said, I'd rather all of your children be captured, said Avisha ben Tzuria, than you be captured. We need you. Don't worry about your children. So he said, okay, fine, then come help me. So Avisha ben Tzuria said another shame and allowed David HaMelech to come back down to the ground. And then they started chasing after Yishbibinov. I skipped something, but I'll come back to it. Chased after Yishbibinov, they came to, oh no, I can't skip it because it actually happened. On the way to getting him, Yishbibinov, Avisha ben Tzuria passed by Orpah. Orpah is the sister of Rus. Orpah and Rus were both the daughter-in-laws of Naomi, who were married to Mahlon and Kilion. Rus kissed, went with Naomi and she became Jewish. Well, Orpah kissed her mother-in-law and then went away. That night, she was visited by 100 guys. A whole troop of men came and raped her, took Orpah and destroyed her. Okay? Yeah, 100 people. Out of those 100 men, one of them was the father of Goliath. One of them was the father of Goliath. Others say, Tosus brings down, yeah. Others say, that was she gave birth. Others say that she was with 100 men and a dog that night. And that all 100 men and the dog contributed to the Zera that caused Goliath to be Goliath, which is why Goliath said to David, what am I, a dog? Yeah, you were. So that's the...
it's Giner's a really big guy.
Big guy. He was 9 cubits, so that's about, you know, 13.5 feet. That's pretty big. So either
giants
way,
are obviously much bigger.
Yeah, the big giants would have been huge, you know, bigger than that. Right. Either way, so Orpah met Avisha Ben Tzuri on the way there. So Avisha Ben Tzuri, as he was walking by, Orpah took her spinning needle or something like that and threw it at Avisha Ben Tzuri and missed. She said, "Young man, bring me back that spinning needle," whatever it was. So he picked up the spinning needle, nailed her right in the head and killed her. So when they were chasing after Yishuv Ivanov, finally said to Yishuv Ivanov, right, "You're going to be just like your mother." When he heard his mother's name and his mother was killed, right, it was your first Your Mama joke, Your Mama joke ever told in Chazal. At that point, that's when he ended up going down, and that's when Yishuv Ivanov was killed. Avisha Ben Tzuri then made him swear that he would never go out ever again, and that it wouldn't happen at any other point.
And the next family reunion for Dov must have been kind of awkward when they found out that he was part of killing great Auntie Orpah.
Great Auntie Orpah. Yeah, great Auntie Orpah and her kids. Your first cousin 3 times removed, you know? But yeah, great Dain, and it was after that, this impossible Yurkaz guys, but he owed him a sum of the Govian Polishim. They fought in the city of Gov with the Polishim. Otika Sibchai Hakushati Estafa Shibilidia Rapa. Then Sibchai Hakushati, we're not going to hear very much about him, unfortunately. He killed Sa, who is the third giant. That's Goliath down, Yishbi Benov down, and now Saf down. But Yod Hamalchan Begov, there was another battle in Gov, in Pelishim, I asked, Elchanan Ben Yari, Borgim Besalachmi. So Elchanan Ben Yari, the weaver of Bethlehem, he killed Goliath Hagiti. He killed a different Goliath, Ve'itz Chaniso Kimnor Orgim. The wooden part of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And that's the idea behind it, and that's what the person was. Some say that the reason why it's called Orgim is because his mother wove the Peroches for the Mishkan itself, and that's the reason why he's mentioned over here, over anything else. Okay, by the way, it was not Goliath, but rather a person by the name of Lachmi, says the Gemara, who he ended up killing, right? Nonetheless, right, Elchanan may have been referring to something else entirely. We don't know exactly what it was. It's possible Elchanan was Bitzalo. Remember Bitzalo ben Uri ben Hurl Matiudo? Possible, yes. There was another war in Gas. Yish Magon is the fourth guy. Now here's the crazy thing about Magon. He was a freak. Espos Yodim Espos Raglav Shesh Vishesh. Esther Va'arba Mispar Vigamu Yolularapa. He had 6 fingers and 6 toes on each of his hands and each of his feet. 24 fingers and toes all together, right? And he was also a child of Orpah. He was the 14th degree of an Israel. Zakio Yonason Ben Shima Achi David. Yonason, the son of Shima.
Right.
The son of David Amalek was that.
Sense. Yeah. He had. Six,
12 plus 12.
Oh, okay.
Fingers and toes all together. That's what it is all together.
Okay.
That's what he's trying to say. It's not trying to say that he had 6 fingers on one hand, 6 toes on one hand. That's not what he means. It's 24 all together to be able to understand what it was. Magon, by the way, was by far.
24 is.
Because you think it was 6 on hand and 6 on the foot. So it's just 6 on one hand, 6 on one foot. This is telling you, no, 6 on each hand, 6 on each foot all together, 24. That's what he's trying to say.
What's the Ralbag bringing like 70?
He gives all these lessons that you learned from over here. So Ralbag was very big into bringing lessons after you had already learned something. So quite a bit, he does something and says, here's what we learned, here's what we learned.
It's like Rashi says that Elchanan was David.
Yeah, there's another opinion that says Elchanan was David and it refers to actual Goliath. Like, he's the one that was killed. By the way, this Yonatan ben Shema was the brother of Yehonadav. Remember? The opposite. Yeah, Yonatan was the brother of Yehonadav. Remember Yehonadav? He was the guy that convinced Amnon to do what he did with Tamar. That was that. As Arbat Eil Yudula Rapha Begat, these four were killed, right? They were born to Orpah, and Gat. But Yipul the Adam of other, they fell by David Melech and all of the hands of his servants themselves. So that's the idea behind it. All these four people all together, and that was that what ended up happening over here.
Wait, question: is there any biological advantage of having more fingers and toes?
No, it's just
do anything for you.
What I always tell by something like this is that Goliath was very different from everybody else. You know, they all say that he was like a huge man or whatever it is. Listen, you can't have a giant according to our physical stature that we have today. You have to be a freak. Meaning, if you try to make a person bigger and taller, his heart won't work. The heart would have to be triple, quadruple the size. Really, it's 8 times the size in order to work for a person who's double your amount. I'm sorry? These guys don't live. These guys don't live very
long. How do...
I don't know. The guys who are 7'7", they're all probably 4 feet or whatever.
How do elephants...
They have a freakish look, don't they? I mean, they don't look like a normal human being. Right. To have the human being look, you would be able to, you could look like a juggernaut, you know, from the old X-Men comics. You could look like Juggernaut, and then you could be huge, because then your body body looks like a rhinoceros body, you could have that. But every, again, any, like, we're 6 feet tall, right? If you have a 12-foot tall person, you need to make them 8 times bigger in order to fit that 12-foot stature. In theory, God can do anything he wants. Just saying, he'd have to be much bigger. That means these guys were freaks. Og would have had really small little hands, but a massive, massive body. Gullius would have been a freak. Mudden was a freak. They were all freaks. The only way you can have a giant is if he was a freak of nature. Now this whole parak is really a reference to a Tehillim. I keep forgetting what Tehillim it is. Which one is it, guys? Oh, Gimel. And there's also there's a bunch over here. But David spoke these words of song in the day that Hashem delivered him from all of his enemies and from the hands of Shaul. There are many times where there are different Tehillim that refer to different places. Three, that Gimel is from Avshalom, right? When he ran away from Avshalom. Nun Aleph was when the Nuffin came to him after Bathsheba. Nun Dalet was at Maskul of David when the Zephim came to Shaul and told him after that. This is a song. It's literally a song. Right? So it's all out there. I can't rap. I'm not into that. I'm white. So that's not going to happen. Regardless, that's that. The Medrash says that there are only 10 songs in Tanakh, and this is one of them. They obviously start from Oz Yashir, Hazinu, the Shiras HaBe'er, Devorah HaNeviya. We have one over here by David HaMelech. We have one by Hana, right? At the beginning with Shmuel HaNavi. We don't know about all of them, but some of them are here.
There should have been one by Menashe, right?
There should have been.
Oh, by Kizkiya.
I'm sorry.
Kizkiya should have said it. Yeah, I'm sorry. I wish they would have. And we don't have sheet music for any of this stuff, but that's that. Anyway, that's that. You have to do it on night. Okay, you got to sing it. The Gemara teaches that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to David HaMelech, David, how dare you sing songs in celebrating Shaul HaMelech's death? How could you do that? And therefore, because of that, I am going to take you down as well. I would have destroyed. If you were Shaul, and Shaul was David, I would have taken down many Davids, many, many Shauls for his sake. In other words, Shaul HaMelech was so great, he didn't deserve to die. By Yomar, Hashem Salim Tzidasim HaFalti Bo. Hashem is my rock, my fortress. He is my rescuer. The word Selah is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu being the tzur, that anything that happens, no matter what, there's always good things that happen over here, and that's the idea behind it. So that's the concept over here, and that's what refers to a rock. No matter how bad it is for David HaMelech, he always knew he could go back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Elohei Tzuriach Zaboi is my tzur that I can take refuge in. Magini V'Keren Ishi, he is my shield as well as the horn of my salvation. Love that. Miskabi, he protects me, Uminusi, and he takes care of me. Moshi Mechomas Toshieni. He saves me from violence, and he saves, I don't know. He is my savior. He saves me from violence and everything like that. Okay, so definitely what he's mentioning over here, Keren Ishi, is the reference to the fact that he was given the Keren and not just the Pach when it came to the Shemitah Mishkan. He was able to get more than just that, the horn that was given over here. So he was anointed over there, and that's the reason why it was better for David HaMelech than Shaul HaMelech, who did not have anything more than that. Okay, here we go. Mehulo Across Hashem, praised I call out to Hashem, Ume Oivai Ivosheya, and from all of my enemies I will be saved. So that's what he ended up saying in the thing. That's the shot behind it. Reb Chiya and his sons, whenever they got into rain, when they said Mashi Baruch, immediately the wind blew. When they said Mori Degeshem, immediately the rain began to fall. Thus he said, I will listen to anything that they say. Pasuk K. Kiafafuni Mishbrei Mavis, because the torment of death, Mishbrei Mavis, what breaks you in death, that surrounded me. Nakwe Bliyal Yvasuni, an inheritance of evil people, they have scared me. Suddenly, Ol Sabuni, the pains of death surround me. Kidmuni Mokshe Mavis, the snares of death have confronted me. But Sarli Akra Hashem, but in my pain I called out to God, Elohai Akra, to my God I have called, Abba Yishmai Mehalo Koli, he has listened from his Hechel to my voice, Vishavasi Be'aznav, and my cries out were straight into his ears itself. The idea behind this is a lot of different stuff. There's a lot of words over here. Number one, the way that he's saying this, apafuni, it comes in the word open. He understood that it kept circling around and that things were circular. Sometimes, these things will go around. What goes around comes around, and that even though I'm in pain now, I won't be in pain later. He understood that that's the way it's going to be and everything like that. That's how he understood it. That's that. But Yisko Ash, the earthquake, Batir Kirush Arutz, and there was a storm in the land. Mostos Shlaimir Gazu, the foundations of the heaven shook by Yisgoashu Ki Charolo, and they all quake when God becomes angry. When God sees something evil in the land, He will take care of everything that's out there and everything like that. That's the idea behind it. Allah Ashen Be'apo Ve'ish Mipiv Tochel Gechon. By the way, there's a famous Midrash Chazal says Eliyahu Navi asked Rabbi Nuroi, that may have been Remeir, why are there earthquakes? So he answered, because people do not give miser. That's why there are earthquakes. Eliyahu Navi said, by your life, that's the explanation. He said, no, that the roaring of the earth is God's anger. This is what it refers to when it refers to God's anger over here, and that's what it refers to. He looks at this world, he sees theaters, museums, sports, entertainment centers. That's what he ends up getting angry about, and that's the reason why there's everything like that.
That's written in the Mount Lois?
Right there, yeah, right over here. See the nations that are right there. So all this, while the Holy Temple is in ruins and everything like that.
You're responsible for that one.
Come on, dude, that's that. For this alone, he is ready to destroy the world. All because of, let me say it again, entertainment centers, movie theaters, museums, and sports.
Yeah, but if you learn to play, you go to museums.
I know. I also go to, I mean, I don't go to sports games, but I do watch. I was listening to the Bulls game on the way here. So, yeah. Allah Ashton Be'apo. Smoke comes out of his nostrils, the HBP Sohel, and the fire comes out of his mouth. By the way, it's not, he didn't make that up. It's a medrash. Anyway, HBP Sohel, the fire comes out, it consumes from his mouth. From him, coals flame forth. He took down the heavens and he came down. Darkness was under his feet. This refers to Har Sinai. He came down by our feet. By year
couple
of crew,
this sounds like more of an angry scene.
Rode down on a crew by a oath, and he flew by Yera al Kanfei Ruach. He was seen on the wings of the wind, and that's what ended up happening over here. So here we go. We have to say a muscle over here. Men once came and kidnapped the prince. The king's servants began preparing the royal coach that he could chase after them, and he would be able to re-get his son. But the king said, no. If I wait until my coach and everything is ready, the kidnappers will be long gone. I can't wait. I got to do this right now. Instead, the king mounted a horse and immediately set after them on his own. Metaphorically, Kadosh Baruch Hu took the crewman, rode on it, wasted no time when he fought against the Egyptians. Vayashas Koshev Svivosav, he allowed darkness to go around him. Sukos Chashras Mayim, I don't know how to translate that. A boot filled with water. Yeah, I don't like reading that. A coagulation of water. Yeah, that's why.
I don't think you're reading it right, though. It should be.
Yeah, Vayashas Svivosav Sukos.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sukos. Yeah, Chashras Mayim, you are right. Yeah. And in the other place, by the way, in the other Tehillim, where we mentioned this whole, this parak, it's Chashchat Mayim. So they all say Chashcharta Mayim, that the ability to sweeten the water in the clouds shows the greatness of God. He takes salt water, evaporates it, and allows it to be sweet, fresh water coming from the clouds. And that's why it's called Chashrat Mayim, of Ishkakim, up by the clouds. That is Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, that the way that we get water is from the clouds, and not from evaporation, and not from outside of the earth. Me noga negdo, from the brightness that is around him, bo'arugat le'ish, there are flaming coals of fire that obviously he uses in order to punish people. Yare min shamayim Hashem, God thunders down from the heaven, el yon yitin kolo, and the Most High will raise his voice. He sent out arrows and scatters them, barak by your home, right? Lightning that confuses them and goes around, so obviously there are storms that's there. Bayera u'afike yam, right? And the channels of the sea became visible. Yogolu mosos harim, mosos tebel. Yeah, harim is in the tail end. The foundations of the land have been revealed. The garas Hashem yishmas ruach apu. From the screaming of God, from the rush of the breath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's nostrils, that's what it ends up happening. So even then, this is reference to Kriyas Yamsuf, and that's what it's referring to over here, and that's what it means over here. Yishlach mimarim yikafeni, he has sent down from the heavens and has taken me. I'm shading the mayim rabim. He has removed me from the many waters that's taken the Jews out of the Yamsuf. Yatzilenu me'oyvi oz, right, Pasuk Yuchas. He has saved me from the strong enemies, misonai, from my enemies, ki amsum many, who were stronger than me. He took me out, again, referring to the Mitzrayim that were out there. Some say you could refer to Doeg HaMelech from David HaMelech, that Doeg HaMelech was destroyed by David HaMelech, even though Doeg was so powerful. They confronted me on the day that was very hard for me. But nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been able to be my support the entire time. When Achitofel, the Tzitzin, whenever Doeg HaMelech came around, Doeg HaZoni came around, when all these things happened, right? All these things right there, that's what ended up happening over here. This is the idea. He brought me out into the broad places. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, every time I'm out in the open places, He released me because He knew He loves me. That's the idea behind it. Now the B over here refers to the 12 Shvatim, that the 12 Shvatim were the ones that He was in charge of, and He knew that He was the one in charge of all of them. God has given me reward according to my righteousness, commensurate with my righteousness. He has given me back according to the cleanliness of my hands. He says everything over here, that whatever I took and anything bad, I was able to take for myself and everything like that. And that's David Melon. David Melon says, I was so great that I'm able to save even my descendants. Chizkiyahu HaMelech was saved from his sickness because he prayed in the merit of David HaMelech himself. He shamarti darkei Hashem, because I listened or kept the ways of God. Lo rashati me'elohai, I did not turn away wickedly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything like that. So now we have Pasuk Kaf Gimel. All of his laws are opposite me. I've never turned away from any of the chukos. But yet some him will. I am perfect to him. Ashtamra me'avoni. And therefore I have kept myself from doing any sins whatsoever. All of your mitzvahs were on my mind at all times. What are you going to say?
I don't know. This sounds a little bit haughty, honestly. Like, I don't know.
He knew. David Melech knew. In other places, he so said, if only I knew that I was going to be in Olam Haba. But he's saying, this is what I've done. Because God has returned me according to my righteousness, according to what I've done well before God's eyes. In front of other chassidim, you should act with chassid. In Gibor Tamim Titamam, with strong men that act wholeheartedly, you act wholeheartedly. You give them exactly what they're supposed to do. Tum refers to Yaakov Binu, right? That's a reference to doing things in a tumim different way. When it says chassidim, that's a reference to David HaMelech. Gibor is a reference to Avram Avinu. So it's referring to Avram, David, and Yaakov Avinu, and that's what we're referring to over here. Im Navar Titavor. However, with the crooked, you act crookedly. In Ikesh Titavol. With those who act in a bad way, you make them fall. And that's the idea behind it. That's the idea that Yaakov Avinu had to do by Laban. When he's together with a crafty person, a person who's going to trick and cheat and whatever it is, that's how you have to act. That Am Anito Shiav Einech Al Ram Tashfil. The people that are for you will say, your eyes are on the high and you bring them down low. David Melech said, you're the one who said, I have to thank for bringing down all my enemies and knocking us down. Because you are my light, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give light to my darkness. And that's a reference to when David Melech was able to fight a Molech. That they were able to fight even in the middle of the night when they were chasing after him. And what that's a reference to is that even though a Molech was strong and that they were weak, that's what they were able to do over here. For with you, I am able to trap somebody, or I'm able to go up against the armies. With God, I can leap over a wall. I will be able to go anywhere I need. I don't know what that's referring to, but it seems like he can go over a protected city. God, his ways are perfect. The words of God are absolutely flawless. He is a shield to all those who take refuge in him. They say that refers to sharpness. So Rufa refers to sharpness over here. That your words are very sharp. That the Torah is like a fine wine flavored with honey and spice. Just like spices are not eaten alone, but are enjoyed when mixed with all other ingredients, the Torah can only be digested when all of its ingredients are mixed together. When you're able to do everything together, that's the only way to be able to do it. Lamed Beis. Kimi El Ben Mevadel Hashem L'mitzor Mibalidei Elokeinu. Who is a God and not like, you know, unless it's God? And who is a sewer aside from our HaKadosh Baruch Hu? El Mehuzi Choyo. God allows me to have strength by Yasser Tamim Darki, and he allows the perfection of my ways. Meshava Raglai Kayalo. close. He sets my feet in the proper path, like the Ayala. Remember, that refers to a deer. The Alma Mosai, Yamidani, he allows me to stand up on the highest of heights. And that means that when he was surrounded, going up mountains and shawl mountains on all sides, he was told where to go and what steps you should take to not be caught by the enemy. And thus he was able to stay away, even though he was surrounded, even though it was that. He went into the cave when Shaul HaMelech went in there. He allowed himself to go in when Shaul HaMelech was, remember, sleeping in the tent and he had to get past Avner. That's what it ended up happening, that all this was easy for me. But Lami Gadal HaMelech, he teaches my hand to work in war. Menichas Kashas Nechushas Ro'osai, and allowed my arms the ability to bend a steel bow that I was going to be able to fight. You have given me the shield of your salvation. You allow your humility to increase for me to have as much as I need. Lamed Zion over here. Tarkat Sadi Tachteini. You allowed my steps to widen beneath me. My feet were not able to slip. No matter where I went, I was always taken care of. I chased after my enemies and I destroyed them. I did not return until I absolutely took them down. Not only did I overtake them, but for your sake, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I made sure that they would not fight us again. And I took care of them before anything. I destroyed them. I knocked them down. They will not get up. They fell underneath my feet. You allowed my strength to be used for war. You allowed those under me, right, to be subdued. My enemies, they retreated from me. The necks of my enemies, right, they went backward. So that I might be able to take them down. David Melch was able to fight 1,000 people at once. That's the measure of what they say about David Melch. That's he's saying the idea of what they were able to do. Yishuv ein Moshiach l'Hashem v'lo Anam. They ask, they turn to it, but there's no Savior for God. Nobody's able to answer them. That's called Kinka Afar Eretz Kitit. All right, I crushed them like the dust of the earth. Kitit Chutzos like the mud of the streets. Adakim Arkoim. I trampled them down and knocked them down. This referring to Ammon, which remember, after he killed Ammon, he dragged them through the furnace and killed each one of them. Remember, he did 1/3 of them. That's called Tani Mirivi Ami. You rescued me from the fights of my people. Tishmarini the Rosh Goyim. You allowed me to be the head of the nations. Am Lo Yadati Avduni. A nation that I do not know was able to serve me, and that's what it refers to. So even when there were Shaul, Doeg, Abshalom, Shimi Ben Gera, anybody who came up against me, I still was able to be the head of all nations. I was able to remain as a king. And just that. That was that. Here we go. B'nei Nechoriz Kachashuli. The non-Jews, they lie to me. That which they hear caused them to obey me. In other words, once they heard of my greatness, then they subjugated themselves to me when I ruled. B'nei Nechor Yibolu V'yakrum Yizkorosam. The strangers are worn out and they stumble out of their barricaded places. In other words, once they heard that I was coming, they would not stay in their places. They knew they were so worn out with fright, they stumbled out and they gave themselves up.
What's the connotation of Ben Nechor?
Ben Nechor, son of a strange nation. Nechor is usually strangers. People that live around us, but we don't know. In other words, a non-Jew that lives around our areas. That's what it refers to usually. All right, a couple more pesukim, guys. Pasuk Mem Zayin. Chai Hashem Baruch Tzuri, by the life of God, blessed is my rock. Yoru Melohei Tzuri Yishi. They lifted up, I guess you can say, exalted is my God, the rock of my salvation. Ha'el Anosin Ekamos Li, the God that gives vengeance for me. Morid Amin Tachteni, he subjugates people beneath me. Motzi Me'avai, he takes me away from my enemies. Mikamai to Romani, and he exalts me over my those who come up against me. Me'ish Chamasin Tatsileni, you're able to save me from the people who are the man of violence. And maybe that's a reference to the future when he goes up against Gog and the nation of Magog, and that's what it refers to over here, and that's the men of violence. Alkein Otka Hashem Bagoyim L'Shim Chazmer, therefore I give thanks to you among the nations, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to your name I will sing praise. And that's the idea, and that's the reason why he's willing to do it, because he's seen the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking him out from being a shepherd and becoming the king. You know what he has to do. Magdil or Migdol Yeshua's Malko. Right, he is a tower of salvation, right, for his king, and performs kindness with his anointed, for David and his offspring, forever and ever and ever. Magdil is the way that it's written in the Tehillim, in Perek Yudchas. This is all in Perek Yudchas. That's the one that we normally know. One of the things is in Berachas Hamazon over here. Okay, there's a lot of different things in Migdal and Magdil. Alright, we'll say it like this. Magdil, David explains here why in the previous verse he would thank God. He said, because God multiplies salvations for his king and performs kindness with his anointed. That's Magdil. Migdal means God, David is describing God's salvations. They were a sanctuary, just as a tower provides sanctuary for those under attack. Migdol therefore refers to the protection that God gave him. Magdil means the greatness that David HaMelech was given when fighting in the war and allowing to fight in the war itself. Now, why do we mention Magdil on the regular way and then Migdol? The difference is that the former Magdil is spelled with a yud, right? And it's vowelled with a chirik, Magdil, with the smallest of the trump, right? While Migdol is the vav, right? And it's sounded with a colon as tall as it can possibly be. Shabbos and Yom Tov are greater days than the days of the week, which are minuscule in comparison. Thus, Magdil during the week, when we have a little bit of a yud and a little bit of a chirik, Migdol on Shabbos, when we have, we're raising ourselves up to a Kadosh Baruch Hu and bringing ourselves to the best place possible. That's the idea behind it. Okay, others say Magdil was written when David HaMelech was not yet great. Migdol was written when David HaMelech had become much, much greater. Yud Ches, Tehillim Yud Ches, written when he was a kid in the forest, and that's Magdil. Here he reads it as Migdol, because by this time he had already become awesome. So that's, again, the difference between during the week and on Yom Kippur itself. We'll stop with that, guys. Have a great Shabbos.